ordered some ChemPad industrial wipes to clean my processor off.
Do you need a license for that?
It's really funny because the box says for industrial use only. So
I think that was an episode of Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty thrilled with all the warnings on the side of the box. It's just isopropyl and some kind of deionized water, but it looks scary. So
you're making chemtrails in your house is what you're doing.
Pretty much. I'm probably going to put on the rubber gloves for that one.
You mean to get the thermal paste off?
Yes.
You're not just using rubbing alcohol, you're using like crazy computer alcohol?
The most delicious of all alcohols.
So I've done the removing of thermal paste once, and it didn't really go that well for me, and I kind of scuffed up the CPU a lot. So I just thought skip that, and I ordered some pads. They're not specifically designed for cleaning CPUs, but they're like people have said they're good for it. Hmm. Have you done it, Jamie? Have you?
Yeah, when Axel bought me my Noctua, we did it together, and I just used rubbing alcohol. And it was like a baby's bottom.
I'm just nervous about doing it, honestly. I feel like because the only time I've removed and reset a CPU, the system just wouldn't boot afterwards for reasons that I still could never figure out.
Mm-hmm.
I am especially paranoid about this process.
Yeah. You might have put too much on or too little.
It would probably still boot, even if I, like, it would probably still at least turn on. I'm pretty sure it was either a faulty power supply or, like, a grounding
didn't
issue.
Turn on?
No. Yeah. Or just a faulty case, even.
Did you reset the BIOS?
Totally.
Did you know that resetting the BIOS is essentially just like playing Pac-Man?
I knew, yes. Yep.
CMOS jumper.
Yeah. This is my favorite character.
What was that math game? Tech. Math Blaster. It's like Math Blaster.
Daughter board.
It's actually
motherboard has a daughter board on it, guys.
Aww,
it's adorable.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I thought the BIOS was just like that's somebody reset the BIOS and then reboot the animated television show fell out of it.
I met the girl who was the voice on that show in Canada.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. She was really nice. And I met her because I was in a toy store and I was buying reboot action figures.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up to me.
She was working the front desk.
No,
she said, wow, you're so sexy. I want to date you.
No, she's like, hey, I'm on that show. And I was like, I was really young. And I was like, no, you're not. That's dumb. And then she did the voice. And I was like, oh my God.
I like how your initial reaction to her was, I hate you. You're just a stupid girl.
Let me buy my toy, dummy.
And then once you realize she had value to you, oh my God, I like you again.
So could you sign my toy? Let's go to a Tim Hortons together.
I actually didn't ask that, which was really stupid. I was just super pumped to meet her. And also, I was getting a toy.
So she was just in this toy store, like, prowling for people to pick up her action figure, or was she on display there?
Well, it was like she wasn't there for like a function. This was like, it's basically like an FAO Schwartz of where was I? This must have been not Toronto. What's the one on the other side?
Finland,
Ontario, Winnipeg,
Helsinki, Finland. Jamie, remember
Nova Scotia?
No, on the other side.
Vancouver. Russia.
Yeah, that one. I was in Vancouver, and it was like the FAO Schwartz of Vancouver. It was like multi-levels. There was like water fountains inside and like bridges. It's cool.
Does she just hang out in there because she has nothing else to do with her life? And this girl
she was in there with her mom buying toys. And she was like, oh, I'm this character. And I'm like, oh, that's a lie. And her mom was like, no, it's true. Do the voice, honey. She was like, oh my God.
And she's like, I don't want to do the voice, Mom.
Jamie, I think you were just you were on a much more polite like version of Canadian punked, where they don't actually tell you were ever punked. You just have to go on living your life believing that was the truth.
Monaco laughed all the way home.
I hope so. That would be even a better story.
Well, it is now. Speaking of better story, we're on the air. Hey guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah, hey, this is Boss Barrel Radio. My name's
Episode 3343.
Nailed it. this is the big year when we hit episode 3383.
Yeah, after the mini apocalypse. When we
micropolypse.
We're running on the backup generator for the last 2,000 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the CMOS battery.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, what we did, we just took the timer battery or like the clock battery out of the motherboard and just used that to run the whole setup.
Yeah. Yeah. Not far off the real truth because this is still a 2008 MacBook Pro. So that's a miracle.
Does that thing even hold a charge
off
the outlet?
Nope. Man? Battery has exploded. It's in a plastic bag that I am meaning to bring into Apple to get replaced.
Griffin, let me buy you a computer.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Is it leaking Steve Jobs' blood? Is your battery just leaking Steve Jobs' blood?
No, it's like tetsuoing out from like, it's like gone all Akira, where it's like these weird fleshy tendrils are like exploding out of it and has these like inflatable like airbags.
The only thing I remember about Akira is some guy's intestines falling out, and he's trying to scoop them back in.
Yep.
And that sounds pretty much like that.
That's what my battery's doing. Anyway, my name is...
By the way, the whole intestines falling out.
Let me say my goddamn name and start the show.
No.
My name is Griffin Hoffman. You can call me
no,
Griff.
It's not.
With me this week is... Jeffrey Hitch.
What's up?
Brewer.
Jeffrey, did you just call me Jeffrey Bitch Brewer?
No, I called you Jeffrey Hitch Brewer.
Hitch Brewer.
And also, Kevin James Scherer.
Nope. I refuse. I'm protesting.
You can't. You have to be the lovable, the quirky sidekick.
I'm in a mall. I'm in a mall on a Segway. I'm fat. Oh, my God.
Griffin, can you be the Adam Sandler to his Kevin James in that shitty movie about gay people in the military or something?
Yeah, I well, hang on right now. I'm about to get kicked in the balls. Ready? Cue the laughs. Arch! Ow! Something about lunch ladies.
Donut.
I hope that for his Netflix movies, Adam Sandler actually just puts a laugh track in them.
Ah, piece of shit car!
That's actually a legitimately great song, and I'm sad that he turned out to be so crappy.
The goat.
Nice.
I think every time Adam Sandler gets hit in the balls in one of his movies, one of his actual good pieces dies.
Yeah.
Actually, the creative outlet for all of Adam Sandler's best work was his balls. And he's just been giving them ball concussions, which is why his output has just gotten worse and
That's
worse.
Why
oh, so his balls were the... Say it again, Jimmy.
That's why he could sing so high as opera man.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, his balls are the Muhammad Ali of comedy.
Goodness gracious. Mm.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
So,
Adam Sandler plays that game. Shadow of the Colossus in the movie Reign Over Me. He plays it obsessively.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How does he play it about? Obsessively?
Is that a good movie?
It's a great movie. It's about a guy. He plays Adam Sandler. It's one of his like roles where he's actually acting. And
he's like Punch Drunk
really good
Love.
Yes, like that. And he plays a guy whose family dies in 9/11.
Oh, like Little Nicky.
Like, exactly. It's basically Little Nicky. But
it's the sequel to Little Nicky, right?
9/11, and then he obsessively plays Shadow of the Colossus.
How many talking dogs are in this movie?
John Cheadle is in it, so one.
Do the terrorists win in this movie, or does he beat them down?
I would say.
Does he kill people that look different than him?
Does he kick somebody off his plane and say, "Get off my plane"?
No, it's mostly just shots of him riding an electric scooter around Manhattan, which is pretty cool.
I can jack off to that.
if he's riding, when does he find time to play Shadow of the Colossus?
When he goes home at night.
When he goes home from the 3 hours a day, he works on his shitty movies.
And then Don Cheadle is a dentist, and he shows up at his office. He's like, Don Cheadle, I'm depressed, Don Cheadle.
How many other characters does he play? Does he play the Colossus? Is
the Opera Man's in it.
Okay.
The Water Boy's in it.
All right, good. Yeah.
But it's an open Water Boy.
Does Eddie Murphy play a fat black woman?
Yes.
Yes.
If this
or
movie.
Or Tyler Perry.
I watched Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2 recently, and I've decided that Beverly Hills Cop 1 is actually like an excellent, fabulous movie.
Yeah.
And Beverly Hills Cop 2 is like a steaming pile of horse shit, but it's still awesome to watch.
And Beverly Hills Cop 3 just redeems it all.
I don't remember 3.
It's the one with the amusement park.
Oh, I don't remember.
It's not a good movie. My brother watched it obsessively when he was
young. Oh, really?
Yes.
That's a strange one to choose.
He chose the weird ones. Demolition Man was heavily featured in the rotation.
It's a great
that
film.
One I was
it's a really good movie.
Into. He doesn't know about the three seashells.
God damn it, he never figures it out. Rob Schneider.
I want to have like a bonus sequence where they explain the three seashells with diagrams.
I think that's going to be at Sylvester Stallone's funeral. The eulogy will be Rob Schneider finally explaining the three seashells.
Oh, that's right. He was in that movie. I forgot.
Yeah. Yep.
He was one of the derpy policemen.
Yeah. I hope that also Taco Bell releases a product called the Three Seashells.
The Taco Bell closed after years. It's
what?
Closed. The Taco Bell closed in Summit.
Oh, no. I went to a Taco Bell like a month ago, and I that wasn't a good choice.
Nope. No, I don't regret a lot of food, but that is one that I do always regret eating.
I had the cheesy gordita crunch, thinking mm-hmm. to myself that the thin layer of cheese that I observed.
Thinking that you were going to win a PlayStation 4.
Well, listen, thinking to myself that the thin layer of cheese that I observed in the promo material would be the amount of cheese that I actually received. It was just like 99% cheese.
Wow!
Whoa!
Like
you were
goopy,
disappointed
disgusting cheese.
About your overwhelming cheese about your cheese surplus.
I'm gonna use it was probably cheese in like quotes, like in the same way that their tacos contained like beef in air quotes. You know what I mean? Like it was like a liquid that was yellow and kind of tasted a little salty, but I'm not really sure.
It looked like someone else had like tried to consume it and then spat it.
Yes, exactly. It's like somebody vommed like the last cheesy gordita crunch into a hermetically sealed tortilla object. And then they handed it to me.
And how was it?
Have you guys seen this thing where the Asian Mythbuster who like always looks super uncomfortable no matter what he's doing?
Grant Imahara.
You know, he goes to the McDonald's factory and he sees what's in a McRib. Have you seen that?
No.
No. What's in a McRib?
If the segment is to be believed,
is it myths?
It's mostly pork. But there's also towards the very end of the segment, they're like, oh, also, we just threw in a couple other things. And then it's a bunch of really sciencey names. And they're preservatives, but they keep the flavor in.
I was hoping it was like a high speed video set to Benny Hill music of people just falling off the conveyor or falling onto the conveyor belt, getting shredded.
My favorite McRib is Danny the McRib.
Well,
actually,
we hit our quota.
10 people. I just wrap. What's that, Griff? Sorry.
No, they got to shut it down. That's why it's in such a limited time, because they hit their quota. They hit 10 people, and they're like, maxed out on flavor. I mean, deaf.
They just throw in as many illegal immigrants as they can round up, and that's the McRib shipment for that month. I was going to say, just to lock in the flavor, I actually just like to wrap my meat in saran wrap before I cook it.
Smart.
Just eat it like that.
Smart. It's really good.
I need to make a penis joke, but I'm failing.
Yeah.
A penis joke. Oh. I kind of made it for me.
Yeah, well, you did.
No need to wrap your meat in saran wrap anymore, Mr. Married Guy.
Yeah.
Oh. Not for kids anymore.
Yeah. How is the other side, dude?
You know how the other side is.
You got the secret handshake?
You find out how the other side is on your wedding night.
It's
the only place you go.
Secret handshake now, and you got your membership ring.
Did you cry afterwards? Did you just cry profusely for days?
Can't say I did. I mean, no more than usual, anyway.
Okay.
It's good. It doesn't really feel much different, honestly.
Have you gotten tired of people asking if you're how different it is?
You know what I've really gotten tired of? Getting checks that are addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Brewer, because that's not Jessica's name.
God damn it, I hate getting checks.
It's pretty much the best first world problem, but it's annoying because we don't know what to do with them. We don't know how to deposit them successfully because they don't actually have our legal names on them.
I'll take them. You can just endorse them over to me.
Wait, you think banks are really going to give a crap about that?
They actually do.
Oh, that's
enough.
Because Maine is a weird like state that doesn't actually
have banks.
Well,
actually,
no,
this was a Jersey bank, so I can't speak to Maine banks. Okay. Maine banks are probably like, who gives a shit?
Yeah. Okay. That makes
it's Maine.
Sense.
You have money? It's in Maine? Excellent.
Granted, an audience with King LePage.
He wants those kids to work.
He does. He could be so much more productive. Half of our potential workforce is just being squandered at home and school.
Those lobsters aren't going to gather themselves.
He's the best video game boss ever.
Yes, he would be a great video game boss. Actually, we're actually thinking about bringing lobsters into the workforce.
Oh, good. Finally.
That's our new plan.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. What's the minimum
wage?
Well,
it's a bad time there in their keep. I mean, all they do is sit around on plates and get eaten.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a charmed life.
Jeff, I got a question for you. How many times does the phrase, you son of a bisque, get uttered in your state?
I think you have to go farther north for that one.
Oh.
We pretty much draw the line of kitschiness at Main Street spelled with an E on the end.
Dang.
It's about as far as we go.
That's pretty good.
But they're all over the place. They're literally everywhere.
Yeah. Also, we have people with accents that kind of sound like Boston accents, except they're a little bit more like backcountry crazy.
Yeah.
So true.
It's fun times, though.
Nice.
I like it up here. It's a cool state.
It's peaceful. It's sure good is. For doing yoga.
And it's open for business.
Yogurt.
Thanks to the re-election of two-time plurality Governor Paul LePage.
No, I thought he won by 47%.
That's not a majority.
Okay, whatever.
Close enough.
Who said you have to have over 50% majority?
I totally voted wrong on one of my public questions because I was too lazy to read it. It's okay.
You terrible citizen, you.
Jessica wrote me in for one of the local offices, so
nice.
Congrats.
I'm looking forward to my letter of honorarium and acceptance.
She should have written Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey Brewer, or however the hell your checks are showing up. So you're just like, how do you like it, state government? How do you like it?
Do you vote with a lobster? Like, do you crank a lobster to vote?
There's actually a lobster that pinches your genitals if you choose the vote that they don't want you to choose.
Oh, okay.
They have a genital pincher down there.
Do you use the lobster ink to mark your vote?
We actually we remove a lobster liver and we squeeze that green shit out of it and just mark the ballot that way. It's very natural. We use the whole animal.
That's beautiful.
I've never eaten a lobster.
Our home
in
is
my
actually
life.
We actually weatherproof our home with carapace.
Do you have a lot of lobster hide rugs in your house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our blanket is actually made of lobster.
Every meal, do you pull the heart of the lobster out and take a bite of it and then pass
it around?
We actually
break the lobster wishbone in half.
Okay.
Make a wish on it.
That's so charming. That's and then you say, "You son of a bisque."
We do, and then we cry. Our life is so empty, so dull.
I just realized how you could, you know how, like, if you want to know if someone's a witch, you see if they float?
Yeah.
If you want to know if someone's a lobster, facts. You could boil them, and if they go, whee, then they're a lobster.
Yeah. No, you have to boil them alive. I mean, we've done that with a few friends.
Yeah.
We haven't found any lobsters yet, but, you know. Mm-hmm.
Never give up.
Be safe.
Never give
better
up.
Better to be safe and murder hundreds than let one slip through. That's what I always say.
That's the state motto, I think, right? That's the
LePage way. That and vacation land.
I'd rather,
life should be.
I'd rather eat a person than a lobster.
I mean, who wouldn't, though?
Well, the McRib's in stock.
That was great. No, but honestly, if you were like, hey, why don't you eat some of this great lobster liver, or you could just eat Billy. They'd be like, oh, well, I know where Billy's been. I'll take Billy.
I would eat, yeah, that's for sure.
Can I just say that, speaking for a moment of the McRib, I'm waiting for the time when a fast food restaurant just sells an item called, like, meat on bone.
God, I cannot wait for that. Yeah.
And or... meat is spelled like the E is like a three.
Or you can purchase the value meat item for 99 cents.
That's going to be in the age when all the other food is made out of bugs. And then you're like, I'll take the meat. You're like, oh, no.
Wait, what do you mean that other age? Isn't that just right now at McDonald's?
No!
Like 33% cockroach
don't
in your
tell
burger?
Me. Oh, gross, man. Those aren't chicken nuggets. Those are cockroach nuggets.
The best part about going to Costco is to get my contacts is then I get to eat at Costco. I get two hot dogs and a giant Coke for $1.79. And then I get to sit with all the other people who hate themselves and we just stare at each other.
Do you go to the designated flatulence and diarrhea corner afterwards?
Yeah. No, that's the entire story. You'd
Jimmy,
be amazed.
Do you know what the worst thing about going to Costco there and eating is?
What?
They don't accept credit card.
Yeah, you got to pay with cash. That... Or you have to walk your sad self over to the customer service desk like I do and then pay with a credit card there and then walk back to the food stand like a jerk and then cut people and then be like, give me my hot dogs.
Wait, Jamie. That's the pro tip. Like I didn't know you could do
that. Thanks to you, Jamie, the small business, those hardworking men and women at Costco, they're not going to be able to make ends meet anymore.
Here's how I know this. Because when I buy my contacts, they give me a $15 Costco gift card, which I then turn around and spend immediately on shitty Costco food. Mm-hmm, but the Costco food place won't even take the gift card. I have to take it over to the customer service stand and wait in line with all the other suckers who brought only plastic. Just... Then I go
that's
back
what I bring
there.
To the bedroom, only plastic.
So what should be...
Sorry, come on.
So what should be a really simple process and something that I'm doing purely out of convenience because I'm already there becomes a huge ordeal, which isn't convenient at all. And afterwards, my butt's on fire.
I didn't understand why if you were an establishment that's like, hi, come here and spend hundreds upon hundreds of dollars on your food for your fat face that you're going to squirrel away in your house forever and your giant TVs that are kind of sucky and your patio furniture and your weird clothing and your books that are terrible. Like, come in and spend literally thousands of dollars, but you want a hot dog on your way out? No.
Cash only, bro.
Cash only.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. Drugs there are so cheap, and drugs and contacts are like literally 50% markdown.
Yeah,
it's amazing. But go on, Jeff.
Are those drugs imported from China?
And... I certainly hope so.
Are they made in that Boston factory where they contaminated those drugs with salmonella?
I've taken Costco brand prednisone because we got it for my dog, and then I had an allergic reaction, and my dad was like, "I don't know, take this prednisone for the dog," and so. It's in my body, and it'll never leave.
There's just a piece of fiberglass that was embedded in the pill, just slowly tearing your small intestine open.
You actually just you're trying to counteract the medicine with the Costco hot dogs. You know, you can only fill up so much. Your body only has room for so much evil in it, and you have to counteract the pill evil with the food evil.
The hot dogs actually contain lengthwise like a really hard carbon mesh that just grinds up everything in your small intestine as it passes through.
Oh, nano machines.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It sounds like you're comparing me to a Brita filter. And that's accurate.
So much coal. Eat coal all the time. That's how I purify my body, by eating coal.
I only eat coal.
But only clean coal.
You do roll coal?
I eat frack gas? Frack gas? Frack
ass.
Frack ass.
Is that your new Unreal Tournament name, Jamie?
Freck.
Freck.
Freck ass.
Oh man, now you made me want to play some Unreal Tournament. I was getting my first person fix before we started by playing more of that game whose name I forget, even though I was playing it seconds ago. Call of Juarez Gunslinger. But that I've also been playing that Alien game. But
GTA 5 with the first person.
Not playing those. No thanks.
For some reason there's first person in it now.
Why?
I don't know. I haven't watched the video yet, so I can't speak to it.
So you can look at those clean faces. So you can get your mod on.
Guys, while we podcast, I'm going through my my spam, and I'm excited to find out that I can get some safe and potent enhancement.
Nice.
In patch form.
Oh.
Patches are...
Where do you apply it? Like an eye patch? Like a pirate eye patch?
Yeah, and in the email they're telling me there's herbal penis pills, but it's spelled H-E, and there's like a little double dot over it, so it's like herbal penis, and then there's a circumflex over the I.
Do they spell the penis funny too? Like penoir?
No, penis is spelled normal.
There's an enye?
You'd think that of the words that can trigger the... What's that, Griff?
I said, is there an enye?
There's no enye, but you'd think of the words that can trigger the spam filter. You've got herbal with the little dots over the E. You've got pills with a little circumflex over the eye, and penis is just completely unadulterated.
Good. As it always is.
Seems like a silly choice. I'm going to go ahead and delete that one, too.
Put that in the Save Forever folder.
It's going to go ahead and click that web link and order 50 doses.
One touch, one click, Amazon, two-day shipping.
That's what I use for my chem pads, man.
Oh, nice.
Now I'll never have bad CPUs or menstrual problems again.
Speaking of dumb things to do with electronics, I put a new battery in my Super Mario World cart the other week. That was pretty fun.
Oh yeah, I saw your text about that. So
no
so
fingers
what
left.
Down?
What?
No fingers left.
None. They're all stuck together. I'm just in a permanent. Permanent prayer fixture, and I can never be found for crimes.
How, you said you got burned kind of bad, pretty bad?
Really bad, yeah. Like, it's...
Really bad.
Yeah. Like, it hasn't bubbled, because it was right on the tip of my finger, but it is, like, completely dead and gone and white and nasty, and there's nothing going
underneath. You're more machine now than man.
No!
That seems kind of bad, Griff.
That's
have
fine.
You consulted with an individual with some medical expertise?
Yeah, I got worse things to deal with, but it was again really fun.
I'm dying. I got 3 days to live.
Well, I mean, drank battery acid. If you recall that one time where I just removed like all the foot on or all the skin on my foot when I was talking
all
to you,
the foot on
I recall. But did you remove it or did it come off after you injured yourself badly?
I kicked a rock and then all the skin was off my foot.
Oh, God. See, usually I just slough my skin off when I want to grow a new set.
Oh, that's very smart. Yeah. You just shed it. No, I picked up new batteries in. I got like a really sweet deal on Amazon where it was like 10 batteries for $4. So took that one out. I had to let the soldering iron heat up for like 10 hours or something. It was probably more like 2 hours or something, but that was fun again. Getting that
how
going.
Did you burn yourself so that I don't do the same thing?
I touched the soldering iron.
But like,
oh, I wonder if it's hot. Oh, it's hot.
Yeah, like, what? I mean, like, was there like a particularly tricky part of this thing that you had to do, or you just screwed up?
Well, I was playing Twister, me the soldering iron, and me my finger, my penis in the soldering iron, and I was like, well, which one is gonna go on red with the soldering iron? So I had to choose my finger, of course. I think it was the best
Your
option.
Your penis had already been burned.
Yeah, probably. it's just a raw callus, pulsating, ready to drain. I my finger slipped on the iron, because you got to do a little bit of like nimble movement here where you got two like pegs and you have to like undo them and then pull the battery out. So and then this one was like extra shitty because the solder was on both sides of the board, so I had to flip it over to get it fully unglued essentially. So that was a big pain in the ass. But yeah, so I just slipped and burnt the hell out of my finger. But now it's working. Really, it's working great.
You're really selling me on not ever doing this.
Oh, it's super fun.
It looks awesome. I wish I had the balls. I don't know. I'm not ready for like investing in that kind of hardware. Says the guy who just bought the industrial wipes.
It is literally going to cost you less than $5
for the soldering iron.
You could buy a soldering iron for like it. Okay, less than $10. You can do it. Soldering irons are going to be like $5. The battery is going to be like $2, and then
Don't I need like a workshop if I'm going to have a soldering iron? Like I need like a table. Like a special
Well, you
got to
have a mustache.
Yeah. you need some kind of facial hair. How many plaid shirts do you own?
I have a lot of plaid shirts.
Okay, well, there you go. See, good start. Already don't have to worry about that. Do you have good ventilation?
Not really.
Okay, good. Yeah, no real in-home workshop should actually have good ventilation. So you're set.
Jamie, what's your level of comfort with soldering stuff?
Well, I've never done it, but I like headphones and amps and stuff, and a lot of the best amps require you to do it. So I wouldn't be opposed to learning. I have watched plenty of videos of people building amps on the interwebs with soldering irons, and it's pretty – it looks scary at first. I think I could handle it. I think I could do it.
What's the scariest thing about this whole process to you, like ruining the device or hurting yourself?
Ruining the device.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Probably ruining the device for me too. Right. I have a pretty strong feeling I'd fuck up.
Okay. Well, the surprising thing that I found was you really can't do that because, like, unless you just like put the iron onto a really obviously bad spot of it, like you're not going to do anything bad. And then you can always redo it again. Like, that magic solder metal it's super cool. You touch it with the soldering iron and then it just like turns to like Terminator 2 liquid and then you're ready to go. Like you just pull it out and it's gone.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's what happens with me. I pull out and I'm gone.
Just blink once and you're down the block.
Yep. You'll never see me again.
That's why eyes open. Eyes open.
Eyes wide shut, man. How do I roll? Only the weird sex clubs for me.
Well, guys.
Can I talk to you guys about Alien? Wait, do you have to leave?
Well, I was going to say we got about 20 minutes. You want to talk about some video games?
I'll talk about Alien.
We got
ready.
And a half months to cover. Go.
Okay. Shannon, can I tell them the Alien story? Okay. So Alien is really scary. And one time I was playing and then Shannon came home. And Shannon's like, what's this? Oh, my God. And so then she sits down on the couch next to me, like, transfixed. And I'm playing, and she's not making any noise. And then I look over, and she looks like she's tied and bound with invisible ropes. And her face is, like, screwed up intensely. And she's, like, actually crying just by watching me play this video game. It's that scary.
Huh.
It is the real story. That's exactly what happened.
Are you sure you're not confusing this with the Alien Gonzalez story?
Okay, so Shannon wants me to amend the story.
Is this the beginning of 50 Shades of Grey, or is it like a middle part?
This is the beginning, the end, and the middle part.
Okay, just making sure.
So after I was done playing, because Shannon was crying, according to my story... After I was done playing, I walked into the other room, and then I started stomping like the alien, like, and then I made the alien noise, and then Shannon started really crying. So now I can't play Alien in front of Shannon anymore. But that game's really scary. It's been said elsewhere, but it's completely true that the audio design of that game is superb. Among, if not the best in any video game I've ever played. I believe it was because Fox had something to do with it. I heard that on the Joystick podcast from Ludwig Kitzman, so don't blame me if it's wrong. But I believe they like hired like film quality audio engineers from Fox to come in and like make sure that not only does this game sound like the movies, which it does, but that it really creeps you out with the sounds every chance it gets. And the sounds are very layered and three-dimensional and awesome. And the sound and the lighting alone make that game something that you should try if you like Alien or you like scary games. But that game is also completely jacked. And so that kind of makes me think twice about recommending it in that it's just completely broken.
It's jacked like an energy drink or something?
It's jacked like an energy drink.
Okay.
It's really hard. It's stupidly hard. Even on easy, it's the alien just pops out of nowhere and just kills you. And sometimes really stupid things get it to leave you alone, and sometimes they don't. And so that's one reason why it's kind of screwed up, because the difficulty's out of whack. But also, they just show the alien way too much for him to be scary. Hmm. He's all over the place. And after a while, he kind of loses his the effect that he has. But the rest of the game is, after a while,
it's anti-Cloverfield kind of.
Exactly.
Got it.
Those alien jazz hands lose their fear factor. Yeah, that's really all I have to say about the alien.
Does he do the knee thing where he transfers his hand from knee to knee? The Lindbergh?
What?
If you do the jazz hands, you got to follow up with the knees, man.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the crazy knees or whatever.
Now I really want to see that, and I bet someone on the internet's done that. Looks amazing. It's really disappointing that they couldn't get like the most important thing in the game right, but everything around it, like the wrapping paper and all the stuff like surrounding the core, is like super awesome.
I got really excited because I thought there was rapping in the game.
Oh man!
I was like, the rapping. What
is? Are you telling me that Aliens is the new "Who Do You Voodoo, Bitch" of video games?
He raps you to death.
Jamie, can we play that game again just for 5 minutes and then just never play it for the rest of our life?
Yes.
Dead Island was pretty good.
No, it wasn't.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
No, it was a good game.
It's literally the worst, one of the worst games.
Nope, that's false. You're wrong.
Jamie and I played it literally just like the actual gameplay elements of it we had zero fun with.
All right, well, didn't like hitting people with sticks and procedurally breaking limbs and whatnot. That's fine. It was kind of soulless, you know.
Yeah, that was the most glaring thing.
We were able to laugh at it.
Yes, we were. I think all of our enjoyment, though, was like meta enjoyment. Like, oh, this game is hilariously bad.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's bad, though. It was pretty fun.
I don't know. We may have been in the wrong mindset.
I don't think so.
It's probably that first person perspective that scared you guys off.
I loved Borderlands. Yeah. First one. Second one didn't grab me at all.
I was just playing Call of War as Gunslinger and having the time of my life. Really? That game's awesome.
Yeah, I'm the only first person guy. Jamie, I think, is okay with first person.
Yeah, I played the crap out of Wolfenstein. Beat the shit out of that.
That was a good game.
And I don't dislike first person. I wish it was less prevalent. I wish it hadn't become the go-to medium for Western games. I mean, there's an obvious thing games that depart, but I just wish it wasn't so common.
Maybe it won't be soon. I don't know. Maybe people will get their fill. Probably not.
Probably not. People like first person.
I like first person. Person. It's good. It's fun.
I get to be the one that the aliens are attacking.
Well, that makes sense.
It makes sense in horror games.
It works so well.
I get to be the one that sleeps with the lady. I don't know.
A lot of the things about Alien that make me infuriated are actually cool. Like in other games, like there are computer terminals in the levels, and you have to do things on them, like open doors and stuff.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
And if this were any other game, the second that you kind of like opened up a computer terminal, like the game would essentially pause to let you do whatever you need to do. In this game, nope.
Nope.
You can be at a computer terminal, and then you can hear your little your little
tracker hands,
tracker beep. Oh. And then literally what happens when she dies, when she's at a computer terminal, is she's just typing. And then you look down and a giant alien finger spear is through your chest.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's exceedingly frustrating because the game's checkpoint system is so stupid. Mm. But
in that there is none, right?
Yeah, in that there is none, and that you have to run up to a different type of computer terminal to save, and it takes time. Literally, there's three lights that have to go off. In that time that it takes, the alien can come up to you and kill you.
That's a bad choice.
The alien just kind of seems to be hanging out, like, hey, I'm pretty nearby, guys, so I'm going to come out a lot.
Yeah, well, he is in the ceiling and under the floor and in the wall, so... He is not bound by the geometry of the level.
That's the thing that I heard that pisses me off the most about that game, where it's like, if you're going to make this game where this alien is moving around, it needs to be beholden to the same like rules of reality that you are.
Yeah, I'm surprised that doesn't drive you insane, Jamie, because I remember you gave me that thing about how you didn't like J.K. Rowling's geometry of scene in Harry Potter.
Yeah, well, that's
true. It's the same problem.
It does drive me insane, but at the same time, I love the idea that this thing could be anywhere at any time, and that's really terrifying. So it succeeds on one level, but it completely fails at being a game.
Indeed. Geometry of scene. That was a good talk. It was very interesting.
Expelliarmus.
Your delivery on that was so good.
Wingardium Leviosa. Expecto Patronum.
Well, calm down, Jamie.
So you guys playing anything else?
Jamie, have you played anything else?
I probably played a lot, but Jeff, you should talk. Cause...
Okay, I will talk. There is four things that I played.
Harima, you have 5 minutes.
Okay, I will. I played the ones that I played. I didn't play too much of any of them, so I can tell you about them all. I played Bayonetta for the first time.
Yay!
Hey, that game's super cool, and
yes,
I am not really bothered by how bootylicious it is. I know that it's not really her. Like, I don't think it's. I think it's like any critique you could level at it would be a perfectly valid critique. But I also feel like I like her, and she doesn't feel. It doesn't impact me in the way that it impacts other people. Like I don't look at her and I'm like, oh, you know, like, I don't know. It just feels cheeky. It feels like I still really like her character. I'm not attracted to her character at all. I just think she's like just an entertaining character.
Nope, Jeff, by liking her character and not being disgusted by it, you are part of the problem. Hashtag yeah. Gamergate.
I'm really not.
You're a monster. You're a disgusting, lecherous monster.
No, I'm saying I'm really not disgusted by it. You can call me whatever you want. But
the fact that you're not disgusted by it means you are disgusting.
Sure, I'll be disgusting for this conversation. So disgusting. It's just, it's like funny and stupid. And like I said, she's like a supermodel, but she's not like conventionally attractive, if that makes sense. Like she's not human. She's not a human being. Like she doesn't look or remind you of a human being. She's just kind of this like crazy statue model thing.
Oh, so you're just saying that all women are playthings then. All right. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying that because she didn't bother me, she's not like problematic. Obviously she's got some problems, but for my experience of the game, like I'm having a great time with her. Mm-hmm. I like her character and I'm not ashamed for liking her character because she is like problematic to other people doesn't mean that like my experience with her is bad for me. You know what I mean? Like I'm just enjoying her. Like I find her amusing.
But I think you're bad for her.
I'm bad for her.
Yeah.
I'm hot for teacher. Feels right.
Jeff, did you have to stop playing because you got too many boners from Bayonetta?
I did, yeah. I just kind of bored a hole in my pants with all of the just constant boners I got.
Boner-netta.
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but I... But
neither
I do.
I'm just playing devil's jerk advocate. I agree 100%.
You do have a problem with Bayonetta, Jamie?
Yeah, but I don't disagree with anything you said. I don't think that it's as flagrant as some might say, but I do often wish that there were things that she wouldn't do.
Well, I mean, it's I think it's a little like I think that the difference between her and a lot of other characters is just that when she is sexualized, which is just near constant, I don't respect her less for whatever reason, although it might just be me. But I think that it's disappointing that that's like the only avenue we have for exactly interacting with women is sexualization.
Disappointing. That's how I feel.
It's
nothing
more. Disappointing.
But it's disappointing in a broader context. The game itself, I'm having a good time with.
Oh yeah, no. The game itself is like one of my favorite games.
But looking at the broader context, you could say, well, it's disappointing that we point to interesting characters. We point, you know, one of the handful of examples we can pull out is a heavily sexualized one.
Yeah.
But the game itself, I have no problem with the game itself. I'm having a good time. Are you talking about, by the way, Jamie Bayonetta 1 or 2?
Only two. That's my only experience.
Okay, so I'm playing the first game, and I'm very interested because the second game, you know, different director, slightly different team. I'm very interested to see how the characterization of her will change from the first game to the second game when I finally get around to them. Griffin, did you feel like it was any different in the second game, the way they were characterizing her?
I was talking to Jamie about this the other day, and I think the first game has a lot more meat to it. I think the second game is a lot more shallow, and doesn't.
When you say meat, you mean like titties?
I mean, butts. Yeah, yeah, like meat on the bone and the makes my bone grow.
Hey Griff, let's slap five and talk about how much we love banging chicks.
Yeah, bro, down. All right, yeah, man, like. First Bayonetta had long hair.
Yeah.
Second Bayonetta had short hair.
Yeah, and I'm interested in experiencing both of them because I want to see if I think that what makes like the stupid panty shots or not even panty but like crotch shots work in that game is that Bayonetta like is continually a presence even as she's being sexualized. But I'm wondering if in the second game she's not as much of a presence because it's more hollow. But I haven't played the second game.
Well, I think that, like, Jamie, you'll probably agree with me, but, like, listening to that podcast with the reviewers from Polygon, where they're saying, like, no matter what the situation is, the developers created this character to do this, and even though, you know, she owns her sexuality, that means that the game is, like, dictating that about her. Somebody created that. She is not owning it. Somebody else is owning that for her, and she is being sexualized. Like, there is no point in which she's never being sexualized, despite how much of an interesting character and confident and in enjoyable she could be. I Jeff, I 100% agree with you, where I think that there is something delightful about it. Maybe you wouldn't go that far, but you would. I think that there is something really fun about her. It reminds me of, like, an old school like anime where it's like kind of weird, like Ranma or something, where you're like, this guy's got boobs all of a sudden and what the hell's going on?
Yeah,
here?
It's kind of like if you look at like authorial intent or whatever, like the person who made it is probably like a weirdo. Like, I'm sure Kamiya is like a freaking creepy dude, but like, you know, there's a whole team of people working on it, and there's like a lady who made it, and she probably had some intentions too. So
but the thing that the Polygon guy said, and I don't know if I agree with him or not, I think I probably do though, is that she is a 3D avatar that does exactly what we say, so there's no way that she can own it,
right?
Because she is under our control at all times.
The control of the creators.
No character can own anything. I mean, right. that's you know,
that's not true. I mean, there are plenty of fictional characters who are, you know, lascivious or licentious, but
in okay, I see what you're saying. Fine, no video game character that we control can own anything.
I think a video game character that we control, where we can't press a button and have her clothes fly off, would be closer to that than she is. And I like Bayonetta. I like her character. Mm-hmm. I just wish she wasn't naked when I pressed a button. Because that literally happens.
Really? Because I kind of like that part of the game. And the mechanics are fun, but I think that is something that is just like, it is the Hooters of video games, where I'm like, this is dumb and shitty and kind of nice.
I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. The developer can do whatever they want. I'm just saying in a game this excellent, it puts me off. It's a personal thing.
Okay.
I wish.
Well, I think that's legitimate. I think any, like I said, any criticism you can mount of towards it is would respect
totally
valid.
Sure.
That. Yeah, because it's legitimate criticism. I'm happy that the stuff that is kind of weird about her doesn't put me off from her in the first game. Because it feels fitting with the atmosphere. It feels fitting with what has been presented to me about her. It just works for me. Now, like I said, that doesn't invalidate anything anyone else said, but I'm glad I'm having a good time with it.
Yeah, I don't think that what you say is invalid either. I just, it's like, it's a very fine line and it's different for everyone. And it's unfortunate that this one happens to, I don't even know where that line is, but this game like just happens to cross it. And it's, for me, it's unfortunate. And if I were in a rating type situation, I would not dock this game points for that, because I think most of the time the action is so intense and it's so crazy that you don't even see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But those things do put me off.
Sure.
As a cultural artifact, it suffers. As a game, it is fine.
Legit. But yeah, Bayonetta is really cool. I really like. I love the freeform combo system.
It's the best.
It's so liberating from like the arcane labyrinth of combos that you could perform in Devil May Cry that I just never did.
Yeah, and you're never not feeling like you're doing great. Like you just sit there and dodge over and over again, and they're like, "Hey, still doing great, still doing great." You can't really mess up.
No, and I'm glad the dodges aren't completely frame perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's get a little bit of wiggle room. Forgiveness in there. Is the first game, Griff, is the first game in terms of the controlling and the dodging and all that, is it harder than the second game?
Nope, it's exactly the same. It plays exactly the same in terms of mechanics.
It's harder.
Well, you might be, but the game is totally the same. I said this to Jamie. The major difference between Bayonetta 1 and Bayonetta 2 is Bayonetta 1 is a more interesting and enjoyable game in terms of its like dumb, big, convoluted, stupid anime showpiece storyline. So it's like bigger, dumber, stupider moments with better music and sillier nonsense and interesting character turns and actually kind of like a dumb story that I like, that I can get behind as a person who likes, you know, kind of crazy Japanese dumb shit. Two plays it a little bit closer to the vest. Like it's a little bit more, well, it's not serious. It's just not as grandiose. But there are still really cool big moments in it. But then it totally makes up for all that by being technically more proficient. Like the pacing for everything is just perfect. Like exactly on the nose where it needs to be. Bayonetta 1 drags on so much to a point where I couldn't play it again. Where I'm like, I would have to play this on a lower difficulty because the combat, though fun, just becomes so like grinding and the fun little mini stages just become so tedious that somebody didn't know when to punch the artist in the face and say stop painting. Like Bayonetta 2 does have that reservation. So that is what that does really well. However, it's just also like completely uninteresting in terms of, well, I shouldn't say in terms of story, but it just falls so short compared to the first game.
That kind of reminds me of Okami, because that game's amazing, but it's so long.
Yes.
I've never beat.
Yeah.
It's just so long.
Yeah.
Wonder if that's like a Kamiya problem or something. I don't know. Beautiful Joe.
I wanted to make a too long joke, and it didn't come out. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Was Beautiful Joe long?
It's because it was too long. Still going.
Was Beautiful Joe long, Griffin?
Nope.
Okay. Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
Speaking of short and sweet.
Whoa.
We're almost an hour here, guys.
Oh, shit. Can I burn through the other games I played?
Yeah,
real quick?
Lay them out.
All right. So I played Demon's Crest, and I want you guys to play that game because it's really good.
What's that again?
It's a Super Nintendo game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You control a gargoyle who was used in several Capcom games.
Red Arbor.
He's from Heroes. No, not Heroes. He's from the Arthur game. Ghosts and Goblins.
Ghouls and Friends.
Ghouls and Goblins. The really ultra hard platformer. But this is like kind of a grittier version of this guy. His name's Firebrand. Yeah, I know.
John Woo presents the gritty version. This time you're playing as the ghoul.
Okay, it's not grittier. It's darker. He doesn't appear to be a sympathetic character. The art style is more like scary or gross. I don't know. It's cool. Anyway, you're this gargoyle. You start off the game. Well, first I'll just go ahead and say it's a platformer. It's an action platformer, whatever you want to call it. You're this gargoyle. You've got an ability set. You can fly. You can like hover in midair with your little wingies. You can spit fire. You can cling to the wall and climb up things. And it's just a really fantastic little action platformer gamey thing. And you get all these cool transformations. You can turn into lots of different forms that all have different types of abilities. So it's kind of got like a Metroid-y aspect to it, where like different forms will allow you to unlock levels. And this game is full of really interesting like hidden levels that you can just completely miss the first time through. Like the first time I played the game, I was young. And I was playing it on an emulator, and I had no idea like that you could change forms. I didn't even understand like that you could pause the game and change into a different dude. So I just played as the gargoyle the whole game, and I got to the end and I beat it, and I was like, oh, it's a really short game. And then I played it again, and I started changing forms, and I started exploring more. And like, there was a level with a city, and you could go underwater, but when you went underwater, you got hurt. But I tried that, and then I found a hidden level under there, which gave me a water transformation. Yeah, it's really cool. And then I used the dashy ground gargoyle dude, and I destroyed a statue, and I found another hidden level. And then, like,
what?
It's just a really cool little game, and it's got a great difficulty curve. It's tough, but it's not insane. It's got really cool bosses and some interesting art design.
$200 in stores now for the Super Nintendo.
Or $8 on Virtual Console.
Or free on the internet.
Or free on the internet. I really like playing Virtual Console on Wii U.
Me too.
It's really nice to play games in not their native resolution, but to play games in a supported output format.
I'm with you. I've been playing the Super Metroid. Because that was on sale for 30 cents a while ago, and I played that from time to time.
Yeah, it's really cool because I think they run at 240p or something, or I don't know, something like that. But the point is, this is a supported format, 640 by 480 on the gamepad, so you get a nice, well, you know, they cut off the borders. It's something like 480 by 480. It looks nice.
You don't need to fill it with anything.
Exactly. It doesn't look blurry and gross. Anyway, so that's a really good game. I really hope you guys play it. The other two games I've been playing, number one is Fantasy Life.
I want to know about Fantasy Life, but I need to go, so we'll have to wait for next week.
No! Okay, anyway. Fantasy Life is good, but Griffin, I'm not sure if you're going to like it. It's a lot of, like, time wastiness.
All right, well, I would love to know more, but I got to shut this down. We're at an hour, so... We will see you guys next time, whenever that may be. Anyway,
bye-bye.
For Boss Barrel Radio, thank you. I've been Griffin Hoffman. With me, Jeff Brewer and James Scherer.